Coming to you live on the Bleav Podcast Network, Sully and Stone, Crowley Sullivan, Jordan Stone, and my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyker, do you have any commentary on Alec Baldwin having killed a person with a prop gun on set?
I'm going to say I don't know who that is, so don't be mad. Oh my gosh. Didn't hear about this, so that, please inform me.
Wow. That might actually upset Alec Baldwin more than the fact that he killed someone.
You might be right. He's got a bad temper. When he finds out that the badass assistant doesn't know who he is.
I need some backstory.
Well, we'll give you backstory later, but Stone.
Yeah.
How about it? How about Alec Baldwin, first of all, when he finds out that Amanda Boyk literally doesn't even know who he is, will that be worse than the fact that he killed someone?
It won't be worse, but he does have a very bad temper, and he would be, his ego is extremely large. So yes, that would bother him to know that our great assistant, our producer Amanda, doesn't know who he is. But, you know, it's two lines popped in my mind. They're both probably in bad taste. The first one is, you know, at Animal House, you know, I thought there were blanks in that gun. You know, I mean, that had to have come to your mind. You know, there were blanks in that.
It came to my mind.
Yeah. The other one is what's that?
Why are there bullets in a prop gun?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. That's a very good question.
America's going to get to the bottom of that one.
And it also brought back from yesteryear a very sad thought in my head, which was the untimely and horrible death of Vic Morrow on the Twilight, the John Landis film Twilight Zone, whatever the hell it was called, where he got decapitated with the helicopter blade.
Yeah, that was
too bad. What a great actor he was,
wonderful actor. Hey, Stone.
Yes.
If you had to pick a top motion picture featuring Alec Baldwin, what would
it be? That's a good one, Carl. I would have to say his incredible cameo in our leads, you know, the Glengarry leads, Glenn Ross.
Does that even qualify as a cameo? I mean, he stole the show.
Incredible. I mean, just the best.
Check him out. Stone.
What else do you like him in? Yeah.
Check him out in She's Having a Baby. That's a John Hughes. That's an early John Hughes film.
I will. I know of the film, but I have not seen that film.
By the way, the film concludes with the baby being born in the very hospital in which I was born, Evanston Hospital.
Excellent. There's a little insider information for our listeners right there.
Yeah. Stone, there are some football. I'm sorry. Say that again, Boyker.
Before you guys start the whole football talk, do you know this is our 10th show?
Oh, my. Wow.
The Big 10.
Man, there should have been like some sort of a celebratory like arrangement of some.
Well, in Alec Baldwin's honor from Glengarry, we should get a set of steak knives.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. We'll look for that from the Bleav Network.
Yeah.
Hopefully our sponsors will send us some care packages.
Speaking of which, today's broadcast is indeed once again brought to you by Uniroyal Tires. Uniroyal Tires. We love making great tires because tires are very important for cars. And if you want to move your car, you need good tires. Uniroyal Tires, the presenting sponsor of Sully and Stone. Stone, the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah. A lot of love out there. Let's see what kind of crowd they get. I mean, that stadium is so routinely empty. Well, hopefully tomorrow they'll have a great crowd.
They're not going to get a great crowd. They've never had great crowds. They used to get good crowds in the old stadium that they played in back in the old days, which, by the way, was an awful, awful stadium. That stadium stunk. But is anybody really taking Pitt seriously? And talk to me about how intriguing this game is. I think it's the most intriguing game on the lineup tomorrow.
I don't. I would totally disagree that it's the most intriguing game, but I will say this. If intriguing means Clemson's an underdog, I, for the life of me, can't remember the last time Clemson was an underdog. I mean, regular season underdog.
Well, that's fairly, wouldn't you say that's fairly intriguing?
It is, but
and also,
I watched Clemson. How about this? So mediocre in Pitt. By the way, Carl, don't forget, Western Michigan beat Pittsburgh in Heinz Field 3 weeks ago or four weeks ago, whenever
it was. However, the Pittsburgh Panthers are 5-1. They have defeated Georgia Tech 52-21 at Georgia Tech. They beat Virginia Tech This is, I think, an actual accomplishment. They went into Blacksburg and won 28-7.
Dominated.
Pitt is yep. playing good football. And that quarterback, Kenny Pickett, he's the real deal. This game tomorrow is potentially a defining moment in the ACC, I believe.
I think that's an indictment on the ACC, though, Carl.
Okay.
Let's not build this up too much. You know, this is an average Pitt team that lost to Western Michigan. That you're right. Kenny Pickett's on everybody's All-American list right now. And Pitt, you know, it's the ACC. It's the worst conference. I want to say Pac-12's better.
Well, let me
have to think that out a little bit.
Have you actually looked at Pitt's schedule after tomorrow's game?
Heck no. I'm sure they're playing the rest of the rummies in the ACC.
I have.
Lay it on me.
At home against Miami, that's a win. At Duke, that's a win.
I hope that's a win.
At home against Carolina, that's a win.
Maybe.
At home against Virginia, that's a win.
Maybe.
At Syracuse, that's a win. You know what that leads to? If Pitt beats Clemson tomorrow,
yeah,
you know
it leads to a very bad rating in the ACC championship.
That's an 11-1 record. And then, what are they in the coastal? Are they in the coastal or the
mountain? I lose
the
track mountain, of the Atlantic and the mountain. Coastal. It's the Atlantic and the coastal, but I don't even remember which one they're in. I mean, that league.
But they go to the ACC championship, and let's say they just win that. They're 12-1.
Don't even get to this point where you're going to tell me they're going to be in the playoff. Please don't get to that point.
They'll be in the vying for it at 12-1.
Zero chance under any circumstance that they will be in the playoff. If they win out, they will not be in the playoff.
Yeah, I don't see the Pitt Panthers making it to the playoff.
I don't see the ACC scenario sending anybody to the playoff.
Okay, but that scenario that I just laid out for you, if they do beat Clemson, then they run the table, then they win the ACC championship, and that's not preposterous I'm not going to disagree with you. The ACC stinks.
It's possible they could, but even if they do, they're not in the playoff. Who are they going to bump out of the playoff? So let's go through that really quickly.
Probably two
SEC teams, maybe two Big Ten teams. I'm just throwing teams that are better than that. So two SEC teams are better than that.
It's not about who's better. It's about who the committee is going to vote
for. Let's just say an Alabama one-loss team and a Georgia undefeated team. Then we got the Big Ten East. Whoever comes out of the Big Ten is going to be in the playoff. Plus, you potentially have, which I thought you were going to say was the most intriguing game of the week, because it is for me, which is Iowa State as a 7-point favorite over our Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
7-point favorite.
Let's go ahead. Let's move it.
Blows me away.
Right out of that game. So tell me about why that line.
I don't know. It's the most surprising line of the year for me. Everything that we talked about earlier in the week on Oklahoma State's defense still holds. By the way, I got a kick out of the Gundy now. They restructured his contract today.
Yeah. That's the standard.
Should have waited till after. Yeah. Should have waited till after this game. But, you know, everything I've seen on Oklahoma State shows that this is their best defense, without a doubt.
I think it's their best team.
Yeah, but without a doubt, I think they go into, no question that Ames has been a hard place for people to win, and Iowa State's well coached, blah, 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 blah. Oklahoma State's better than Iowa State. We've seen enough of Iowa State, haven't we, Carly?
I don't know if they go in there and kick their ass. I think that's where the line comes from, is that the geniuses are saying that this is the day when Iowa State plays like they were supposed to play all season long, and that Oklahoma State is due for a bit of a letdown, which is true. Like, no team goes through an entire season playing at level 10 every single week. Oklahoma State, say what you want about Texas and Sark. Oklahoma State got up for that game. They had to fight to come back and win that game.
Great win.
Their tank might be a little empty right now.
We're going to find out Saturday, but I love the 7. I think Oklahoma State wins outright. Where are you at on this?
Oklahoma State wins the game.
I agree. They're better.
All I'm saying is that might be where the line comes from. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm not smart enough
to figure that stuff out.
I like the money line and the points.
Who do you like more, Gundy or Campbell?
Campbell. I definitely like Campbell more, but I still think Oklahoma State's got – I'll tell you who I like more than Campbell, and I like the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State whose name escapes me, who's going to be a huge player in getting a head coach job.
Yeah, I think his name is Smith.
Is it, or are you just making
I'm pretty
that up?
Sure. No, I'm pretty sure.
I think you might be
Smith.
Right. That's why.
Yeah, it's Smith.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name. Wisconsin at Purdue. as the captain likes to say, Boilermaker football rising like a vampire. Are you aware of the fact that Purdue is 5-2 now?
I am aware of that. I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, you can speak to this too. I think they have the inside track. If they win out, they win the Big Ten East, correct?
So I've come prepared. Let's just play this one out.
You want to play Purdue out?
Wisconsin is giving 3.5 points at Ross Aid.
Yeah.
The game
I like Purdue tomorrow, but I was on the street today running an errand.
What kind of errand were you running?
I was driving around. Where was I going today? I had to go back to my house, my apartment, because I had to get some new clothes on, some nicer clothes on, because I got invited out on the town tonight, which is very rare for me.
Well, so hold on a second.
I picked up a sport coat and a button down and going out tonight.
Hold on a second.
Very rare. Very rare.
All right. The entire rundown has been erased.
Yeah. I mean,
where are you going? What are you doing?
Well, I was invited out
by a woman.
Don't go. No, a friend of mine. He just
which
bought
requires
a nightclub.
Which requires you to go out and get a sport coat?
Well, we're going to the nightclub that he owns. He just bought a nightclub. So I figured, you know,
good
I wanted
investment.
To be in the sport coat
it's
at the
a
nightclub.
Smart investment. Invest yeah. in a nightclub.
Before
go
that,
buy a nightclub.
I have to do the obligatory
by the way,
Bulls
honestly,
game
Stone,
I have to go to for some reason.
That's a good move by your friend, buying a nightclub. That's a savvy investment.
I don't know. I'll report back on how seedy this place is.
What's the name of the nightclub?
I believe it's called I think it's called Fame, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
PH or F? PH or F?
It better not be a PH.
It's an F, I believe. It could be an F. It could be a grade of F, too. By the way, I might fall asleep there at about 10 o'clock.
Fame.
Fame.
That's the name of this nightclub, Fame?
I believe so. Not sure. I will report back.
What is sort of the appeal and or attraction to customers coming to Fame? What's the marketing ploy?
I think the marketing ploy is that, the whole idea of a bottle service, I'm sure. And women there to meet and, you know, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Where is it located?
Carl, I think you know my social life is extremely limited, so I'm really not that sure what happens in the nightclub. That's maybe one of the reasons I'm going tonight.
What's its location?
Fame. It's on Ontario and between, it's like Ontario and Franklin. So downtown.
River North. We're talking about a River North location.
Yeah, and by the way, I passed it because the guy told me about it, and there's no name on it. It's like the Batcave. I mean,
like a good name.
Yeah, good call, Boyker. Batcave would be a better name than Fame.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, for all I know, it's not even called Fame. I thought that's what it's called. I'm not really 100% sure. But I will report back on my evening out. Because
did you say something about going to the Bulls game, too?
Yeah, I had to go there. Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah, that is worse.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I don't want to watch that crap.
All right, back to the Boilers. Back to the Boilers.
I'd rather be at my big game tonight. Colorado State and Utah State tonight.
Hang on. Wisconsin going into Ross Aid Stadium tomorrow. Let's pretend for a second that Jeff Brohm leads the Boilers and they're 6-2. You want to hear the rest of their schedule?
Please.
At Nebraska. At home against State University of East Lansing. That's a loss for the Boilers. At Columbus. That's another loss for the Boilers.
Wow. Better win tomorrow.
At home against Fitzy.
That's a win.
And then at home to close things out for the Bucket.
Oh, the Bucket's so great.
Now, if they win tomorrow and then they beat Nebraska, you have to think that they're going to beat Fitzy. And you have to think that they're going to win the Bucket, which means they're playing in the Big Ten Championship with a record of what would that mean?
Because you've got three Big Ten losses, right?
No, yeah, but they're all one is against Iowa, and then two would be against Eastern Division foes.
But it doesn't matter who it's against. It matters. If they end up head to head. But if Iowa only loses two games in the league total, and they lose three games in the league total, even though if they lose to the East,
it doesn't differentiate
anything.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
I mean, that doesn't matter who you lose to in the Big Ten. That goes against the Big Ten record.
They still have a chance of being.
They do.
Stop and think about that. With a 5-3 record in the Big Ten and an 8-4 record overall. They're not out of the
Minnesota. Minnesota's got what, one loss in the league? Two losses in the league, maybe?
Maybe one or two.
I'll take it on myself. I should be more prepared.
I'll call captain after the program. He knows all this stuff.
Well, anyways, this guy on the street to me, he said one word to me. He goes, I want to tell you one word today. He goes,
This is when you were on
your errand. The guy that I saw, my friend Dan. Dan said one word to me, Badgers. He loves Wisconsin tomorrow. Loves them. He says huge letdown after Purdue's win last week.
So Wisconsin's giving 3.5. Are you listening to Dan?
Absolutely not. His handicapping's usually worse than mine. I like Purdue to win outright.
Yeah, sure. I do too. Boilers. Why not? Boilers. All right.
Boilers.
Another, what is normally a massive game is when Southern California, and by the way, that's a tribute. Me referring to them as Southern California is a tribute to the late, great Keith Jackson, who always referred to them in the manner in which the university itself prefers to be referred, Southern California. Southern California goes into South Bend. Now, normally, this game receives all kinds of hype. Is anyone, including Notre Dame fans, talking about this football game?
No, I'm not hearing any chatter.
Stone, were you even aware of the fact that these two programs are playing against?
I am. I am aware of it. You're right. Usually it would be later in the season, it feels like, and it would mean the world. But yeah, this is the least hype I could ever remember for a rivalry that's been around, and a great rivalry at times. Obviously, the Bush push and games of that magnitude.
I do want to say this. I think it's a bit of an overrated rivalry. It is the first, it's hard when you're that far away from each other. Well, that's part of the allure, according to the two schools. It's the first inter-regional or cross-regional rivalry. Let's be honest, though. There have been some great, great games. But what's really at stake in that rivalry? Anything at all? Has there ever been anything truly at stake?
Well, it has, because recently when Notre Dame went out there in the Brian Kelly era, I know at least a couple years ago, and they needed a win out there. They were a big favorite, but they needed a win to cement their playoff berth. Okay. They went out there and manhandled USC. So, I mean, the games. Oh, listen, as Notre Dame is an independent, there is no back door through a conference.
Right. They have themselves to thank for that. They're kind of a member of the ACC. They're a pseudo member of the ACC.
Not really. I mean, well, pseudo. They're obligated to play 5 games a year against the ACC, but they know where their bread's buttered, and that's NBC.
They know where their bread is buttered.
Yeah, it's called NBC money.
USC at Notre Dame. Notre Dame giving 6.5. What do you think?
This is a weird game that I have such little interest in, and I really thought about the line. I flipped both ways. I'm going to say Notre Dame minus the 6.5.
Okay. Notre Dame is going to destroy Southern California.
We're on the same page again.
Yeah, right. We are on the same page. Has anyone across the entire Notre Dame just spectrum even considered congratulating Brian Kelly on being the all-time winningest coach? No. Have you heard a single word other than his sit-down interview with Tom Rinaldi when he was asked so eloquently and solemnly and respectfully by the great Tom Rinaldi about when he was going to realize that it was real? He then went on to talk about which wine he would be sipping that night. That's when he would realize it was real. Other than that, have you heard anybody talk about the fact that Brian Kelly is now the winningest coach at the University of Notre Dame?
Not only have I not heard anything about it, all I've heard about from Notre Dame fans is A, which quarterback are they going to play, how he screwed that up this year, and B, you know, since losing to Cincinnati is such an affront and such a, you know, how could they lose to a program like Cincinnati?
Good question.
So both of those things have been front and center, mainly though the quarterback. I mean, heck, he's gone through 3 of them, and he can't seem to settle on one. But
Jack Cohn's physical health situation?
Yeah, Jack Cohn's not even in the picture anymore.
Is he out for the season?
Not to my knowledge. I believe he's been benched.
He's just been benched.
He's a backup role.
Wow, yeah. Man, what a fall.
Fall from what? I mean, this is a guy that's used to getting benched. He got benched to Wisconsin. Now he's got benched here. I mean,
yeah, but he was at one point it was looking like he was a superstar. I mean, that's fair to say.
Carl, you've seen the year Graham Mertz has had at Wisconsin. So if you got benched for that guy, you got to really look at yourself in the mirror. That is a, Boy, is Graham Mertz bad. What a poor year he's had. Wow.
What do you think Jack Cohn sees when he looks at himself in the mirror, Stone? What do you think he sees?
I think he sees a older gentleman than most of his teammates. Now he's probably about 23 years old, transferred. I think he sees a guy that's at the end of the line, that's happy that he's going to get a degree, and I expect to see him in the business world in the near future. He sure as hell isn't going to play professional football.
Speaking of the business world.
Yeah.
We have Link Industries of Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah, I was here today. I didn't go to Iowa today. Rarely. Usually I go.
Well, we do have Link Industries of Davenport, Iowa to thank for the next segment, which of course is Throwing Stones.
Wow.
Link Industries of Davenport, Iowa, providing the missing link for you because we want to do good things for you. Link Industries of Davenport, Iowa. Stone, are you ready to throw some stones?
Yeah, you know, now that we do this as a regular segment, it's been weighing on me. You know, I need to step up to throwing stones. But
yeah, you do.
Once again, you know, it's not a great day for. I don't know what it is in me. Usually, I got so much vitriol, but there is one thing I want to talk about.
Hang on a second. Our listeners need to understand that this man's like the frothing of the mouth that happens under just the most mundane of discussions.
Right.
And here I have, I've created this forum. You've
created
for you,
this form. I know.
Just and for
I
you is, to demonstrate
the, my
the,
anger,
the just the passion, the eccentricity. I just to put I don't it know. Kind
it's
of
a
diplomatically.
Friday afternoon. I'm going to the nightclub. What are you good spirits? You know, I mean, I got the sport coat I'm looking at that just came back from the cleaners.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that angry today. I mean, there's one thing
you don't
that's
have
been
to
on
be
my
angry.
Mind.
It's not like you have to be angry.
No, I want to be angry. You're right. There's a lot of froth. I do have a lot of saliva that goes with the speech impediment that I have. But yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean, we love that impediment.
Your father makes fun of my speech impediment.
He doesn't make fun of it. He really respects your speech impediment. He has great respect. He has great respect.
I respect
and it's
your
unconditional.
Dad. Love your dad.
I appreciate
my dad
that.
Too. He's yeah. listening, which he's not.
But he has unconditional admiration and respect for your speech impediment. And Amanda Boyk, are you ready to get the 2 minute clock started?
I'm ready, Stoner.
All right, now hang on. Once again, we want to thank Link Enterprises of Davenport, Iowa.
Yes.
Link Enterprises has done a phenomenal job providing people in the heartland with their services. Stone, when Boyker gets down to the count, start throwing stones, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a few stones today.
Ready, Stone?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
No countdown from the age.
Yeah, no countdown. Just go ahead.
All right. My first stone is bothering me at all levels of football, in particular, of course, college and pro, and that is the obligatory wasting of time. I stressed how long these games are. Crowley's okay with sitting there for 5 hours for a game. Yeah, I'm not.
I am.
I got my windows at 11 Central, 2:30 Central, 6:30 Central. I don't
need, you need these things
my
to
windows.
Get wrapped up because you got to get over to Fame.
Well, that's why it's a Friday night. You would never go on a Saturday when we got games to watch. That's
Fame is a place to go at any day, anytime. Get over
probably,
to Fame.
I'm probably one and out of Fame. But my issue is this. Okay. The obligatory spot of the ball that's just been coming up time
so
and time
bad.
Again.
Oh, I'm with you on this one. It's horrible.
How not only is the spot have, okay,
what's
but not only
people?
Is spotting bad, Crowell, but here's the worst part. So then the spot's down, and then in the pro game, I always go back to the pro game, then some moron's gonna challenge it. And then in the college game, they're gonna go, we're gonna pause the game, we're gonna go look. 99.9% of the time, here it is. You ready?
Yeah,
after
I'm ready.
Further review, the play stands as called. There is never, ever, unless it's the most blatant, like his knee wasn't down, but the guy thought his knee was down, that's the only time the spot's going to get changed. I don't have time, no one has time, for a five-minute review for something we know is going to be stance. And for these NFL guys,
I have
challenges.
Time for it. I have time for it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I would
like
you to get into more about your time frame of your day, because
the games can't be long enough. They can't be long enough as far
sanity.
As I don't... I'm not headed to Fame every Saturday night, okay?
No, I don't go on Saturdays. It's a Friday night rare Fame outing, and it might be a one and done. If I even show up. Then
I'd like a t-shirt.
You'll get a t-shirt. You're looking so svelte. What are you, an L or an M? I don't even know what you are.
That's a good call. I'm an M or an L.
You're an M.
No, wow. I'm an L. I'm an L. I'm not an M. What more do you want to say about the ball spotting? That the refs stink at spotting the ball?
I agree. The spotting's been terrible, but I don't need a review, which inevitably is every time going to lead to the fact, except one in a million, that they're going to change the spot. Because they're not. They're going to say it. Okay, quarterback sneak, fourth and inches. And then the guy marks it short. But we're going to go review it. And then the guy's going to say he couldn't see in the pile anyway. So we're going to call it stands anyways. Well, what the hell are we wasting time for on that?
I don't think it's a waste of time. I think
sure it is.
I think
just that, like that wait, other thing I talked to you about.
Out of time.
Ridiculous. Boyk, these freezing of the kickers.
Boyk, he's
I did
out of
look
time,
up the
right?
freezing of the kickers. We're, by the
keep
way,
keep on going. Just keep
the
on
freezing
going.
Freezing of the kickers percentages, Crowley. I have not seen any evidence that freezing is.
Have
is
you looked?
Kicking.
Have you actually
I did.
Looked?
Where did you look?
Where did you look?
I Googled freezing of kickers. That's what I did. That was my
that's a reliable source.
Yes, thanks to Link Systems, they put me in touch with the internet.
Link,
I looked it up.
Link Enterprises.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, now seriously, your ultimate stone that you've thrown is you just think that the spotting of the ball is crappy?
It's twofold. I do think the spotting's bad, but I'm more upset about the reviews of the spots because nothing changes. I see guys sneak into what I perceive to be in the end zone, they call them short, then we go to this review, hold on, this play is under further review. 3 minutes later, after further review, the play stands. There is no change in spots ever, and it's a waste of time.
Okay. All right.
That's my stone.
Your overall grade for throwing stones up until today has been a D minus.
Where was I today?
Today you're a C minus. Give me a little bit of extra. Yeah. I'm improving your grade a little bit just because
this is episode 10.
You brought a little bit more passion.
Are you going to scrap the segment?
Let this be a warning. Well, I'm not going to scrap it. It's Link Enterprises. They're the ones that have called me. They're like, when are we going to get this segment to really deliver?
Yeah.
Where is our investment in this segment going?
Fair enough.
They're not happy.
Listen, I will personally reach out to Link Systems or whatever they're called. Link Industries.
They're called Link Industries.
I know. And they're my customer. You think I would know? And I'm going to apologize to them. And I will tell you this. Next week is a big week for me. Turn 50 next week, and it's going to be a... I'm not going to divulge that, but it's going to be a huge, huge stone
next
throwing.
Week's shows is massive. Ann Arbor, and they really should.
We've got a big...
They're going to take care of business against Northwestern, and then it's as big as it gets.
It
next
does.
Week.
That's why it was hard to even talk about these. Let's be blunt. This is one of the worst college football Saturday schedules. That doesn't mean the games aren't going to be great.
That's like saying this is one of the worst Lou Malnati's pizza pie I've ever had.
Amen. And I also want to extrapolate that on how great it is to have the best show in TV Succession back last week.
Oh, phenomenal. Nice call.
Wonderful. Like and that. Then of course we've got Curb this Sunday. So we got Succession and Curb on Sunday. So excited for that.
How about Roman? Excited. How about Roman just calling the shots for the
How about
man?
We just call him Romulus?
You Romulus?
Him
yeah.
Romulus. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Romulus let's move into our standard historical perspective segment. What do you say?
Which Stone? I by the way, we should get a sponsor for that cuz I think it's our best segment. I love it. I love it.
It's
going
a good segment. It's
back.
A very good segment. It
Anybody
really
out
is.
There that's looking to sponsor a great segment on the history of the game, look us up.
So let's
Stone.
Next week, I'm closing in on finishing a deal for the sponsor of this segment. Yeah. This week's topic, most underrated coaches all time. Now, there are all kinds of criteria that could be and would be and should be integrated. However, one of the great things about this segment for us is there really aren't any hard and fast rules. It's whatever your opinion is, whatever my opinion is, based on whatever the hell we want. And that the reason for that is it's our show. This is our show.
Beautiful.
And we get to do whatever we want on our show. If you have a problem out there with our rankings, you should feel free to go make your own show. Right, Stone? Yeah.
Not only that, I don't think the Believe Network has any other openings, so you'd have to find somewhere else.
I think they've got an opening or two. So
not to challenge us.
Yeah. No, they're not going to take our programming window. That's for sure.
We own the rights to this segment.
Well, let's also not forget that Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi have the rights to the following segment. And they've got a great show coming up after
Who's
this.
Who's on today?
Mark Calcavecchia. He's going to be their guest this
I
week.
Hope he discusses that shank, that double dip in the Ryder Cup on 17.
He will. I'm sure he will.
Fran
and Rinaldi will get into that. They're going to dig into that deep.
By the way, Calc, one of the great bowlers of our time.
He is a great bowler. Still is, by the way. Great, great bowler.
Always brings his ball on the road.
Yeah. Most underrated coaches, Stone. Give it to me. Let's hear it.
Okay. You want to go one and you want me one, you one, no, no. Or you want me to just roll?
So
all
go in descending order. I think that's. Start at five and go down to number one.
Well, I've got four. I'm going to give you four. I'm going to tweak the rules again. I'm going to go with four. I'm going to start with the least known to, then I'm going to end up with the most known.
Okay.
So this guy, I can't say enough about this guy. He was one of my favorite coaches of all time. This guy would take his program, Southern Mississippi, and he would go on the road and play everybody.
I love
He would go into Tuscaloosa. He would go to Athens. He would go wherever, and he gets some big wins. Brett Favre, one of his great players.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Jeff Bauer. Jeff Bauer, great defensive coach. I always dreamed, I know this is going to probably hurt my cause at the nightclub tonight if I bring this up with the ladies, but I always dreamed if I was the head coach, I would bring Jeff Bauer in as my defensive coordinator. By the way, ready? 119-83, 11 bowl games at Southern Miss. When's the last time you heard of Southern Miss?
You know what he had? He had a rule with his staff, too, Stone.
Yeah.
They had to be out of the office by 7 p.m.
That worked. And whatever he was doing.
His attitude was, we're not, you know, solving the mysteries of the world here. We're football coaches. And you have to be able to spend time with your families. And that's going to make us all a better coaching staff. He literally would make them leave. And one of the things he used to talk about was, I don't want to see any lights on in this office after dark.
Well, how about that? Brilliant, brilliant coach.
Great choice.
And I love that he would go on the road and every right. Number two, a guy that maybe his star power didn't last as long as I would hope, but I love it in his prime, which is Steve Logan, head coach at East Carolina.
Nice.
I always brilliant offensive mind.
Pirate pride.
69 and
50. You want to know who else went to East Carolina? Oh, I don't know that he went to East Carolina, but a very, very famous person went to East Carolina, East Carolina alum. You want to know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course I do.
Doug McMillan, lead singer for the Connells.
Wow. Yeah.
Great rock band. Great rock band.
I wonder if that'll be played at the Fame tonight, those songs.
You'll hear some Connell songs. Really good rock band. Rock and roll. They played rock and roll music. Keep going.
One other Logan quick note. The man developed three NFL quarterbacks out of East Carolina. Jeff Blake, Marcus Crandall, and David Garrard. So that's pretty remarkable in itself. Then I'm going to James Franklin for this reason. I bring it up, I think, almost every show. James Franklin at Vanderbilt. I'm going to repeat, at Vanderbilt, 24-15. Three bowl games in 3 years at Vanderbilt. No job has ever been done better at I just can't believe it that a guy went 24-15 at Vanderbilt.
There have been some better jobs done.
I don't know.
But
Vandy,
I'm going to acknowledge that's a good call.
It's just remarkable. And then I want to finish.
Okay,
I'm ready to just roll with my main guy right here I want to talk about, who just on his passing about 5 months ago, the great Terry Donahue at UCLA. 151, 74, and 8. 151, 74, and 8. 13 bowl games in 20 seasons.
Boy, that's
what a great coach. What
the press, the whole press box at the Rose Bowl is named the Terry Donahue press box.
Class act, too. Just everything about Terry Donahue I loved. And
I have I think
very underrated.
I think he won three Rose Bowls.
At least.
But I do have a little nugget regarding Terry Donahue. I don't know if you were aware of this, but UCLA during the Terry Donahue era chose the sideline opposite the press box. Do you know why they did that?
I don't.
Terry Donahue wanted to capture the sun rays.
Oh.
So
he always had a nice tan.
He always had a nice tan.
And the sunglasses
on that sideline.
Looking really good.
He was able to capture the sun rays.
Handsome.
Nobody is going to really flat out confirm that, but it's pretty much understood. What do you think of
that? Makes sense to me. It makes sense because he had a beautiful tan and a handsome man and a great coach. And he's perfect for UCLA. I mean, yeah, golden, right? Yeah.
That's all right. I'm going to just
start.
Wow. Your list of underrated coaches. Great. Great.
Did I move out of the D+ area? D minus area?
No. That's a separate segment. You're doing great.
What did I get on this segment?
I'm going to give you an A-.
All right. Now we're talking.
Now mine are a little bit more, I went with a little bit of a different approach. And we take different approaches. That's part of the appeal of the program that you and I put together here with Amanda Boyk. I've considered both like accomplishments and then also like stepping into a program that was in some cases like absolutely dormant. And then these guys took them and turned them into relevant programs still to this day. And the first, number five, Hayden Fry. I think Hayden Fry doesn't get the credit he deserves. He never won a national title or anything like that, but he did. I think he won 3 Big Ten championships. That program didn't have a pulse. And Iowa football, say whatever you want about it, the state of Iowa lives for that football program now. That wasn't the case prior to Hayden Fry coming around. Number 4.
Hey, wait real quick, Carl, and don't forget all the assistants that were him that
huge. His tree.
His tree is humongous.
Yeah. By the way, perfect segue. Number 4, Barry Alvarez, who was a part of that tree. Barry Alvarez, I believe he was a part of the Hayden Fry tree. Wasn't he a part of it?
I mean, before then, I think so. And then at Notre Dame, certainly as the defensive coordinator.
Wisconsin football, ever since Barry Alvarez, has been a top 15 program. However, prior to Barry Alvarez coming along, Wisconsin was 10 times worse than Iowa ever was. Absolutely. And what he did was absolutely remarkable.
I agree. Okay. What he did there is amazing. Amazing. And by the way, Paul Chris is screwing it all up right
underrated
now.
Coach, even though this guy is one of the best, just doesn't get the credit he deserves. And I believe part of it is because of his personality, Tom Osborne.
Legend.
Yeah. Legend. And people don't really, when you talk about the best coach of all time, the longevity, the national championships, the relevance, those games between Oklahoma and Nebraska on Thanksgiving weekend that were just epic.
The Miami Nebraska Orange Bowl, one of the all-time greatest games ever, where he had guts to go for two.
Number 2, a guy that was successful at every stop, Mack Brown does not get the credit he deserved. He won the national title at Texas.
Yeah. And great team. Phenomenal team.
Not only a phenomenal team.
I don't know about that one, Carl.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
I think he gets too much credit.
You do? Wow.
I do. That's interesting. I do. I think he gets too much credit. I think he's an average coach. I mean, you know, his first go around in North Carolina, got him the Texas job, and then at Torsa, Texas,
they
were on his ass a lot of Texas,
but they were irrelevant when he went there. They were irrelevant.
Yeah, Texas is never irrelevant. They were hurting though. They had some rough years before.
Number 1 there. Underrated, most underrated coach of all time is
Eddie. I know where you're going. This
Eddie Robinson.
Oh, I thought you were going to Antonio for sure.
No. Eddie Robinson is the most underrated